Good morning. I had the pleasure in this conference of giving a talk twice, and this was actually a version of it was presented just the other day in a session involving plasticulture talks and how climate change is impacting us. This talk is a little bit more oriented towards showing you specific use of row covers, some technical info, and some dilemmas that we're having currently with this technology that I think we can manage, but let's see. It's a fairly large industry now in North Carolina, maybe 25, 30 million farm gate value a year for the plasticulture. What's interesting to note, though, is we have states surrounding us that are now generating sizable incomes from this crop as well. So when you put together several states, you're looking at easily a $60 million type industry. It's a shame the state lines kind of blur that idea from our different deans who don't seem to get it together. We have quite a significant group. We're still pretty much the U-Pick, Ready-Pick thing, but expanding a little bit in some shipping. Each year, more and more growers are doing this, carrying these locally grown berries to more distant markets. Harvest season is generally confined to April, May, but with Albion, for example, we're pushing into later season berries, which can be very profitable. Chandler's the main variety for U-Pick. Camarosa is the very important variety for growers who like to pick the fruit and have it ready for sale at the farm or at nearby locations. This remains, shockingly, still our most important variety after 30 years. It's a keeper, it gets good yields, it's adapted to a wide, wide region well beyond our borders and gets yields of 18,000 pounds per acre to average with 15,000 plants. Row covers are becoming very important to this industry for frost protection as well as freeze protection, those more difficult cold events. There you see on the left a example of a row cover. And then the plant at its most vulnerable stage, the open blossom. The temperatures for the open blossom that can be quite important to know something about could be as high as 30 Fahrenheit, or even a tad higher than that. With the formation of ice crystals on the bloom, you can get pretty lethal effects at that temperature. In the absence of ice crystals, I've seen them go down to 26 degrees Fahrenheit, which is a very interesting prospect for using a dry protection technology like covers where we can see this supercooling. Here's where it didn't turn out so well. This is pretty serious loss at a higher temperature due to frost. A second usage that confuses many people for row covers is they've been utilized now for many years in northern areas as well as western North Carolina in the quote northern plasticulture system for giving the plant overwinter protection. And here's an example in the mid-Atlantic states in Maryland of a fellow near Washington DC actually who grows strawberries on about 5-6 acres and has row covers go out each fall after Thanksgiving. They stay on until early March. Colder region plasticulture, if you look at the lower left photo, they set their plugs in mid-September. The crop grows off vigorously in the fall. They cover it up in the early winter. They stay covered until late winter. There you see on the upper right a good photo of Chandler in late March. It blooms in April and fruits in May. Why the concern about the 10 degree Fahrenheit during the dormant season? Well, there's a stack of literature suggesting this could be quite damaging to the plants, if plant crowns, if we go below that threshold. This is an example in the late fall, actually, where a plant that did not have reached its dormancy or did not harden off was exposed to a cold shot. And there you see the pith and the crown damaged on that plug plant. Now, in milder regions like North Carolina's Piedmont Coastal Plain, it's a different calendar. We plant the plugs in late September, early October. We do not cover the crop during the winter. We don't see the need for it. We get adequate growth. We get enough branch crowns, enough yield without the covers adding to the growth. In early March, you see the same photo as before, except it's a different calendar. And then, of course, we're into a very intensive frost protection season in March and early April before we finally get to some fruiting towards the middle part or the end of April. Now, what if you're east of the mountains like I am in Raleigh, or the coastal plain, and temperatures during the winter go below 10? Well, I know they're not supposed to, but they're doing a lot more of that lately. Our recommendation has been to deploy the covers for such freeze events. Thus, we see up to this point two main uses for the covers, one during the spring bloom season, as well as for a deep freeze that could occur in winter in any of these locations. This is how the covers look in eastern North Carolina, in the Piedmont and Sand Hills during most of the winter. Again, this is a mild growing region. We don't get below 10 Fahrenheit very often. Now, overall, the most intensive use for the covers, of course, comes during the spring. That's our highest risk period. A dozen frost events is commonplace. You could use row covers for all of those events quite successfully. However, we have a choice. The traditional sprinkler irrigation dates back to 1950s, and we still have quite a few of those around, despite pressure to stop sprinkling during plume. row covers, no doubt, have come on hugely, and now I'd say about three-quarters of the industry, at least, has row cover use availability. This is a traditional operation for frost protection, where we're just using the sprinkler irrigation, very effective, provided the winds are not too high and the temperatures don't go below the capacity of the system. I mean, there are sprinkler systems that can protect down to 18 Fahrenheit, but you've got to have good precipitation rates to do that good coverage. There's a beautiful morning after photograph of a strawberry plant that has been successfully protected with the sprinkling. Row covers do a fabulous job at this stage. The most popular is the 1.2 ounce, 40 grams per square meter fabric. It gives protection all the way down to 22 Fahrenheit. It will easily control radiation frost events, which are typically in as low as maybe 26, 27, but not much colder. You have a choice in products. You have medium weights and heavy weights. We have gone primarily with the 40 grams per square meter 1.2 ounce product. It gives us good light transmission relative to the heavier weight covers, and that can be important because there's another adaptation these covers we don't have time to talk about, but they're being used for growth enhancement as well. So if you plant late and you need to catch up your plant growth, you can use a row cover in the fall. Or if you're growing Camarosa, you may want to enhance floral development in November and apply a cover for that particular variety. We also see in the spring opportunities to use covers to advance the crop when we're having exceptionally cold weather and can't seem to get any warmth into the crop. So, other uses of this medium weight cover could be, as I said, to help push some growth when you want it. And this is just one example of that cover, 60% light transmission. So the plants can grow pretty well under there, in fact, too well sometimes. And I'm going to get to that hopefully in a second. What about these colder temperatures that can occur at any time now, it seems? We had a terrible event in April of 2007 where temperatures went into the mid-teens and winds clearly exceeded the boundaries of a sprinkling system. Anything over 10 miles an hour is just not, you cannot use such a system. Growers were in quite a dilemma that didn't have row covers for that particular freeze, and those that did had a dilemma because the covers they had would not work to the temperatures that we were going to experience in that weekend in 2007. In other words, neither technology would work. This is what you call the industry's complete Achilles heel. We are totally exposed to major damage here. Luckily, we've been experimenting with a combination approach of sprinkling on top of the covers, creating these ice blankets and keeping the blossoms literally toasty underneath there, even at those temperatures I just mentioned and those ferocious winds. You remove the wind effect, which makes this a very successful system. And of course, the winds are what defeat the sprinkling and the evaporative cooling. Growers in Tennessee recorded success all the way to 8 Fahrenheit, minus 13 C with this. Do we get worried about blooms in January any longer? Since we're talking about blossom protection, I've learned you ignore them. There's too much season to go between January and April to worry about trying to fruit that, so you just let them go. These are the we call the false blooms of winter. Something you can't ignore, though, is when you get forecasts such as we did this winter for a number of episodes below 10. Here's just one that occurred January 7th. We set a new record in Winston-Salem, minus 14 C, 6 Fahrenheit. It was a challenging scenario. We were even told it could go below zero. I was really worried about crown injury. I tend to worry too much about this crop, and I think I overreacted, as I learned in a follow-up site visit. And I put out extension advisories to cover up. And they did. Most of the growers did. But you know, you can give advice and not everyone takes it. And luckily, a few growers didn't. So we did some site visits and discovered some things about our recommendations that disturbed me, frankly. And here we're going to talk about it. The current information, again, is we should be doing something proactive below 10 Fahrenheit. The idea is if you get below that, you'll get some type of discoloration in the crown, the pith. If it's really bad, you'll get what's called the cambium area discolored as well. So, site visit. This grower used no row cover at all. Not in January, not in March. We were there on March 12th. And there you see a pretty good-sized plant. That's not my hand. That's not my nail polish. Okay. We did the typical... dig the plant up. The growers usually are allow me one plant per field, no more. And I take it up and I cut the crowns. I look at their condition. And this is a muddy and red clay type soil. So some of the colorations are artifacts of the soil on the wet day. But what you see here is a crown that was exposed to 6 Fahrenheit. It has absolutely no injury at all. So several degrees below that threshold. Recall also, just before our visit, on March 4th, we had 14 Fahrenheit at this location. Here you see, tucked in the crown, a bunch of tight buds that are ready to explode with a little more warm weather. And we got to 14. So that theoretically would do a lot of damage, especially if you're using 20 as a threshold for this stage for the emerged bud. Okay, look at the very tip there at where the knife is pointing. That's a nice primary blossom. Cut it open. And you see healthy buds. Thus, this whole idea of 2025 does not seem to be working terribly well, at least in this circumstance. So, wrapping up, understanding the cold tolerance of dormant and pre-bloom plants, I think, is really maybe another frontier for us to get more familiar with in terms of making better use of the covers. I don't think we have a good handle on critical temps for the dormant crowns, nor the non-emerged buds, as well as the emerged buds. I think they're all being set a little too high. That leads to over-usage of row covers. In summary, we do have some superb uses for row covers. They have all kinds of environmental benefits, surely. We don't have to rely as much on the irrigation. They do a fabulous job for bloom control. They rescued us from an Easter freeze that would have reduced our industry quite seriously in terms of the strawberry crop value in 2007 by combining that with sprinkling. Not all the growers have sprinkling, unfortunately. We have learned you can do double covers and get some pretty amazing benefits, though. We need further refinement and understanding of how to best use the covers during the dormant pre-bloom period. And the distinctions between northern mild climate strawberry plasticulture regions is becoming completely blurred by climate change. We can now have winter and spring, thus the Easter freeze of a few years back. We can have situations where winter is not winter-like. This was the only snow I saw anywhere in the Mid-South a few years back in Lexington, Kentucky. That was the year we broke dormancy in mid-January, made some of those blooms. Here you see the new leaves breaking out. The hardiness of this plant, of course, is not as good as a plant that's in full dormancy. So, in finally wrapping this up, we've had some exceptionally warm conditions in years past that caused our crop to break out of their dormant condition. And so that's a different set of guidelines, obviously, to manage that. We also have years like this one, which we had some great dormancy, and we thought our emerged buds would be very vulnerable at temperatures of 20 degrees, certainly. It turned out we were wrong. So it kind of comes down to, I think, being a little more interactive in our strategies here, looking at the crop, trying to understand its hardiness stage. And yes, we're all very calendar-minded. I guess the way to finally think about this is we have certain vulnerabilities in the post-planting period. You can get cold injury that's quite serious then, and row covers are fabulous for that. late fall, we're trying to get the plants to harden off, and row covers can be antagonistic to that because they can warm the crop when we're trying to cool it off. In the early winter, we have a plant that just needs to be dormant. And why in a dormant period do you want to force growth? I have no idea how that works in some growers' minds, because that's not the time you're going to catch them up. In the midwinter, we should be fully dormant and not attempting anything too fancy. Late winter, it gets very interesting, especially if we have one of these windborne freezes come through our region. And then the early spring is one where we're all out with the row covers and irrigation if necessary as well. So it's kind of about thinking about your main objectives, I think. You can't just say or respond to somebody. Somebody asked me the other day, when do the covers go on in North Carolina? When do they come off? You just can't answer that question without some context. And you need to understand that in the fall, it's a very rapid growth stage, and you need to protect the crop or buffer it from a sudden freeze. In the late fall is a transition period when you want to favor hardening. And you can't do that with row covers being applied late in the fall. You actually defeat that. Midwinter is the January-February period. That's just purely a defensive play time of the year. We're not trying to add any new flowers or anything like that. So thanks for listening to me speak about this once again. I appreciate the opportunity to talk to you about the need for some further research in some of these areas, and I'd be happy to take a question if I might have time. Which we may not.